Windsor Park Belfast on a chilly October night. Northern Ireland's European Championship campaign is over. A controversial winning goal for Estonia, but they probably deserved it. Northern Ireland losing home and away to Estonia in successive months. And off the pitch, are they losing the battle for young players with their nearest rivals, the Republic of Ireland? International footballers still get an actual cap per season that they play, but some players are thinking twice about donning them for Northern Ireland. I'm Michael McNamee, and in Does the Cap Fit, I'll try to find out how this situation came about.
I think at the end of the day, it should be down to the player to make their own decision, and that should be it.
For us, this is a matter of interpretation of FIFA statutes. We have a slightly different view from the view that FIFA are currently promulgating. We now think that the right move is to take it to the Court for Arbitration in Sport.
The Irish Football Association has lost an appeal against the decision that players from Northern Ireland should be allowed to play for the Republic.
Midfielder Adam Barton has been named in the Republic's under-21 squad for the upcoming friendly with Portugal. Barton made his senior debut for Northern Ireland in last November's friendly against Morocco.
Face the Faroe Islands. He wants to declare his allegiance to the Republic of Ireland.
I just want to play football, and if the Republic of Ireland are going to give me that chance, I'm prepared to take it.
Okay, let's kick off with a quick history lesson. Back in the 1930s and 40s, the whole question of which Ireland a player could turn out for was a lot more relaxed. There were effectively two Ireland teams, one run from Belfast, one from Dublin, and players could play for both. Many did. Manchester United's stylish fullback Johnny Carey won caps for and captained both sides. The IFA looks after footballing matters in Northern Ireland, and its president is Jim Shaw.
It's fairly straightforward if you look at the FIFA statutes. There are four elements to it. If he was born in the territory of the relevant national association, if his biological mother or biological father was born in the territory of the association, grandmother or grandfather, and obviously there's two of those in each case, was born in the same conditions in the country he wishes to play for, and he's lived continuously on the territory of the relevant association for 2 years.
Now, along with where you were born and your parents were born and your grandparents were born, it's also a question of passports. In basic terms, everybody born in Northern Ireland can have a UK passport. They can also have an Irish passport. And that Irish passport is enough to allow you to play for the Republic of Ireland's football team, regardless of whether you have any family blood link to the Republic. This has always been the case since the Irish Nationality and Citizenship Act of 1956. I told you there'd be some history. But the re-emphasis of this right to dual nationality in the Good Friday Agreement of 1998 did seem to spark a change in mindset for some young international players, and the option of switching allegiance moved from theoretical to practical and possible. So these days, as long as a player doesn't play a competitive senior international match for one country, he can switch allegiance to another up to the age of 28. Jim Boyce is a former president of the IFA. He's now a vice president of football's world governing body, FIFA.
It's not only Northern Ireland that are being affected by this, because many other countries, the Swiss under-19 team that won the European Championships, for example, the president of Switzerland was saying that they have lost about four or five players from that team because of a dual nationality.
One of the main characters in this drama is the former Manchester United midfielder Darren Gibson. Gibson remains the highest profile player to switch. An under-16 Northern Ireland international, he made a senior debut for the Republic of Ireland 4 years ago at the age of 19. Since then, Mark Wilson, Shane Duffy, Daniel Cairns, James McLean and Eunan O'Kane have followed his decision. And now Shane Ferguson of Newcastle United, who has played for Northern Ireland's under-21s, appears reluctant to turn out for Nigel Worthington's senior side. The Northern Ireland manager feels the whole thing is a waste of resources.
When you see the work that goes in and the investment that goes in by the association, investment to bring these young players through from 11 right up to 16, 17, 18, and they've used our coaching system and progressed and in different international teams and so on, up to 19/21. And then all of a sudden, that's not good enough. And they go elsewhere.
And Northern Ireland being Northern Ireland, declaring for the Republic of Ireland, can lead to people making assumptions about the political or religious leanings of the player involved. Dr. David Hassan from the University of Ulster Sports Institute has written extensively on the question of Irish sporting eligibility.
possibly the most recent person, Eoin McCain, who has declared for the Republic of Ireland, was at pains to make this point, this idea that it really wasn't a religious issue, it wasn't a political issue, it was just a straightforward sporting issue for him.
They'll obviously go straight to religion, and I can't stress enough that that's got nothing to do with it. Like, anybody that knows me while I've been growing up, or while anybody that's even met me will know that that means nothing to me. Like, they make a big thing about the national anthem and the flag, and like, doesn't mean nothing. Like, it's a song at the end of the day, and some people stand and it means a lot to them, and others it doesn't. So like, if people are going to go down that lane and say that it's a religious thing for me, then I'm not worried, because anybody that knows me or has grown up with me is going to know that that's got nothing to do with it.
There's a danger then that it's reported incorrectly or wrongly. You know, when players say that, for instance, they want to play for the Republic of Ireland because they think it might advance their career, and they have the choice and the freedom to do that, then they will do that.
If you're from Northern Ireland, you should play for Northern Ireland, and shouldn't be allowed to play for anybody else, and that's the end of it.
If they're born up here, they should play up here. You know what I'm saying?
St Columb's College is the city's oldest and largest Catholic boys' school. Current Northern Ireland football champions in three different age groups, and British Isles champions at under 14 level. Their former pupils include Martin O'Neill and John O'Neill, prominent members of Northern Ireland's World Cup sides of the 1980s. But these days, there seems to be only one international team the college's young pupils are keen to support.
Republic of Ireland. I just think they're the better team.
Probably Republic.
So they have 45 young players, one Northern Ireland fan, one almost Northern Ireland fan, one split between the two, and 42 Republic of Ireland fans here in Derry.
So Northern Ireland's second city looks southward in football terms, and that's led to a situation where young players can feel more confident in switching their footballing loyalties. Dr. David Hassan again.
This is a phenomenon built around Derry City. And again, if you look, I suppose, the recent history, you have a club like Derry City who decided in the mid-1980s to play in their football in the League of Ireland. Immediately then a culture builds up around football in that city, which is southern-facing. There's an element also in which it's sort of given two fingers really to Windsor Park, this notion that, you know, look how well we can get on without you. And then you have the sort of unrepentant notion that at no point will they ever go back from there. There are exceptions, of course, and some very well-known exceptions, people like Paddy McCourt. I mean, why would Paddy McCourt play for Northern Ireland and Darren Gibson play for the Republic of Ireland? So the situation is complicated.
The former Derry City striker Liam Coyle is one of the best footballers to have come out of the city in the last 25 years. He followed his dad in playing for the Northern Ireland senior team, winning a single cap in 1989. Coyle maintains the recent pattern of Derry-based players declaring for the Republic is set to continue.
For every Martin O'Neill and John O'Neill, you're losing out in maybe another 20. You know, because of where Windsor Park is, who plays at Windsor Park and stuff like that. And I think if you don't change it very quickly, you're going to lose out in a whole generation of very, very good players. Because I think now at the minute in Derry, I don't think I've ever seen as much talent come out of the city as there is now. You know, I think that unless things really change on the Northern Ireland front, I still think that most young players in this town will not declare for the North.
Darren Gibson was a trailblazer in terms of players switching from Northern Ireland to the Republic. His uncle Paul McLaughlin raises questions about how Gibson was dealt with during his days with the Northern Ireland under-16s.
He won man of match on a Friday night against England, and he told him if he went to Manchester United the next day, he wouldn't play again for Northern Ireland in the Vickers Shield. And he comes out of the changing room crying, told he wouldn't be playing again. And the young boy said to me, that's all right, I'll not play for him. So I left the phone to Brian Kerr. Darren went and played for Kenny Shields, done a bit of work with me, phoned me, apologised, went and played in Germany. Nobody phoned again. Darren was called up the full international away to San Marino. Sammy McElroy phoned me. And I says, are you serious, ringing me now? I says, where have you been for the last 2-3 years?
The Northern Ireland manager, Nigel Worthington, responds to that accusation that Gibson was effectively discarded by Northern Ireland as a teenager.
That has been the case, and that is completely out of order. And for Darren to make his decision, I can fully understand why he's made it. That is wrong. Young people have got to be encouraged, they've got to be cajoled, they've got to have an arm around them, they've got to be brought in and shown what's going on. And let me tell you, from the inside out, the way you get treated, the way you get coached and worked, and get an arm around with Northern Ireland all the way through the system is second to none. And I can genuinely say that from the heart.
One of Northern Ireland's high-profile managerial exports is Brendan Rodgers, who manages Swansea City in the Premier League. His son Anton represented the Republic of Ireland at under 15, under 16 and under 17 level. Brendan insists it was a very easy choice for son to make.
My son playing for the Republic was very, very simple. They asked him. He was never asked to play for Northern Ireland. Never asked. There's no one ever spoke with him. You know, he was at Chelsea, so people would have known where he was at. And it's obviously the jobs of the Federation and the people involved to scout and monitor players that are maybe eligible.
In terms of results, Northern Ireland at the moment are in a bit of a downward spiral. One of the current cult heroes, though, of the team is Pat McCourt, an exciting winger from Derry who plays for Celtic. But according to Liam Coyle, the matchday environment of Windsor Park is still a sticking point for some young nationals.
If Northern Ireland really want to push on and make their football team successful, they've got to move stadiums, build a new stadium, move on, change the whole perception of the way Northern Ireland, because no matter what you say, you're still playing at the home of Linfield. And old Linfield, to be fair to them, have done a lot over the years to try and change the way their club was run. But it's still seen as a mainly unionist football club.
Now, without going over acres of old ground, I think it's safe to say that moves to create a new stadium at the Mays site proved unpopular with many of the Windsor Park faithful. But the former Northern Ireland captain, Jim McGilton, thinks an opportunity for relocation was missed.
It probably should have been addressed, and probably at that time, then they maybe should have been looking to relocate, but it isn't. Had they done that, then it might have been a more positive step for them, but it didn't happen, so you can't do anything about it.
So along with the issues of the Windsor Park environment and identity and man management, the chance of taking part in major football championships can't be discounted as a factor. Neil Lennon played 40 times for Northern Ireland before his international career was ended by a phoned-in terrorist threat in 2002. Lennon grew up in Lurgan watching the likes of Jennings, O'Neill and Armstrong play in World Cup finals. And speaking on a BBC Scotland documentary in 2006, Lennon recalled those influential glory days.
1982 World Cup was a huge event for the football and community in Northern Ireland. You know, you had the likes of Jennings, Martin O'Neill, Gerry Armstrong, Billy Hamilton. Well, they all became household names after that tournament.
Billy Hamilton, he's got past Tendilio. And Armstrong! Northern Ireland have scored through Gerry Armstrong. A mistake by the goalkeeper.
To beat Spain in Spain, that sort of put Northern Ireland on the footballing map. And I was 11, 12 years of age at the time, so it was pretty, you know, football was my life. So we were glued to the TV in those days, whenever a big game was on.
I'll return to how Neil Lennon's Northern Ireland playing career ended in a moment. But in the same way that Lennon was impressed by Northern Ireland's exploits in the 80s, young players with a similar background to his these days look to the Republic of Ireland as the team more likely to feature in World Cups. The thoughts now of another former Northern Ireland captain, Jim McGilton. But first, Dr. David Hassan again.
Never underestimate the power of glamour. Qualification for tournaments brings that glamour. It's no coincidence that we're talking about a period, a lifespan of young players who have never known Northern Ireland having qualified for a major tournament. And yet, at the same time, the Republic of Ireland qualifies for three major World Cup tournaments. So you have that contrast in the minds of young players. And so therefore, if you're a young, aspiring, I suppose, nationalist in Northern Ireland, then it's easy, relatively easy, to justify a decision. You think that for a range of reasons, not least your own sporting expediency, that it might be a good idea to go and play for the Republic.
Whilst the Republic of Ireland are enjoying success.
It's 25 years since Northern Ireland qualified for a World Cup. Since that adventure in Mexico in 1986, there have been highs on the pitch, like beating England, Spain and Sweden, and a low as well of going 13 matches without scoring a goal. Off the pitch, the low point came in August 2002 with Neil Lennon's decision to retire from international football after receiving a death threat.
Enough is enough. Those were the words of Neil Lennon today as he announced his intention to quit international football. The Celtic midfielder withdrew from Northern Ireland's squad last night after receiving a death threat and has now said he will probably never play for his country again. The threat had apparently come from the Loyalist Volunteer Force, but they have since denied issuing
35, 36 games. I'd never envisaged any problems, you know, while I was with Leicester. And then obviously signing for Celtic, well, basically, if I'm going to be brutally honest, turned people against me. As soon as I pulled on a Celtic shirt, I didn't envisage the problems I would have had. I didn't think they would go that deep, but I knew I would have certain problems. And the culmination of it all was the death threat on the night of the Cyprus game.
Most of the young players that are coming from Derry all come from very nationalist backgrounds, come from the Bog side, Craigan, Chantala, Brandywell areas. The Neil Lennon thing over the last 10 years really harmed Northern Ireland's cause, you know, and I think it hasn't been forgotten in the nationalist areas because Celtic are probably the team that most young people support in the city, Celtic and Manchester United, and I don't think it's been forgotten.
Liam Coyle there on what he feels is the hangover from Neil Lennon's international retirement 9 years ago. Now, the IFA has responded to this movement of young players by giving one of Northern Ireland's most famous stars a new job.
It through him, through the defender's legs, and Northern Ireland have taken the lead.
Now Gerry Armstrong has been brought in by the IFA as their elite player mentor. Part of his remit is to prevent Northern Ireland's young players drifting to their nearest rivals. Armstrong is also ambassador for the Belfast Met Football Academy, where there is a split of international loyalties.
Northern Ireland, because I've grew up where I've went to all the matches. I live 2 minutes away from the stadium and just I love it. It's just love Northern Ireland.
Republic of Ireland, because that's my country. That's where I feel like I'm from. I feel like I'm Irish, and that's what I want to play for, Republic of Ireland.
One thing becomes perfectly clear in all this. The Irish Football Association and Gerry Armstrong will have to work hard at retaining the talents at their disposal. Armstrong believes another factor is also at play, which didn't exist until relatively recently. He's adamant the Football Association of Ireland has been approaching underage players with a view to securing them for the Republic of Ireland senior team.
I'm worried about the kids at 15, 16, 17 who are talented players and who would be tapped up at that age to come and play for the Republic, which I think is putting undue pressure on them. Morally, I think it's wrong. I'm led to believe that several of these younger players have been approached with regards to, you know, where their allegiance might lie.
I wanted to put this point and others raised in this programme to the Football Association of Ireland. Their representatives declined to appear and instead referred us to a press release issued by the FAI following the Court of Arbitration for Sport's decision last year. That was the decision that effectively permitted the former Northern Ireland youth international Daniel Cairns to represent the Republic of Ireland, despite the fact that he hadn't been born there and neither had his parents or grandparents. This is what that FAI statement said.
The landmark ruling vindicates the FAI and FIFA position that players born within the island of Ireland are eligible to play for FAI international teams and provides complete and final clarity on the matter.
This player eligibility issue, row, crisis, call it what you will, it's provoked anger and accusations, but it won't go away. Let's look into the crystal ball in the company of Jim Boyce, Jim Shaw, Liam Coyle and Brendan Rodgers.
I think now is a great opportunity to invest in the development of the young players in terms of the identity we put on our team, and can we then over the next course of the next 5-10 years develop and mould that so that we can be better internationally.
They've got to start from ground level up now here in the Northwest. They've got to put people in place, put practices in place that are it's going to make playing for Northern Ireland an attractive package, and go and build a new stadium with a whole new perspective and things. You won't have a problem persuading young people to play for them.
We're not sitting back and letting it run away from us. We are reacting, we are trying to do the things that we can do, and we'll continue to do that and look at other opportunities and other ways and means of making sure we retain all our footballers, girls and boys, in the future.
The actual FIFA statutes, they need to be changed, and it needs to be worked out by myself with people, I hopefully throughout FIFA or UEFA, who might agree that what's happening is just not right. it is something that during my term of Vice President of FIFA that I certainly will be taking up, and it's something that I would hope that I might be able to help in. But it's not going to be easy.
Jim Boyce with a task ahead of him. So while the current FIFA regulations are in place, the challenge for Northern Ireland's football officials and coaches is simple. Convince young players that they shouldn't walk away.